The biggest games.
Recce for three, got it to go.
The most compelling stories.
Three of the former players said sons were on this particular Monroe team.
The area's best high school sports coverage.
Throws it down with two hands, the whole hoop is shaking.
That's a 10. That's a 10, baby.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. I'm Hunter Vaughn. You know who I'm with. It's the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. Dennis, sectionals just concluded for track and field. States next week. We're into the postseason for lacrosse now, softball, baseball. Is there any other spring sport that I missed there?
Golf and tennis.
Golf and tennis. I should have remembered tennis. My wife played tennis. That's on me. But I want to start today's show off here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania, talking about something that just happened in the NCAA. There's been a few lawsuits kind of about NIL, paying players, antitrust sort of things, and there was a new ruling that just came down, and within that ruling, one of the agreements the Power Five conferences came to is the idea of revenue sharing from all of these big TV contracts that are going on, up to $20 million per school that would then be paid out to the players. So, Dennis, you also, along with doing this show, you do work, stats, and information with the university here in Madison. You know, what do you think about the idea that Tyler Van Dyke on the football team or Cam Hunter coming into the basketball team as of 2025 could potentially be just co-workers right along with you because they'd be getting money directly from the university?
Welcome to Wisconsin. Proud to be a Badger. That's it. That's incredible. My whole career, I think back when I started working in sports information in the 80s when I was in school, never could have seen this coming. But with the way the TV contracts have expanded and the athletes, you know, you look at back then, if you were a walk-on, a scout team player, you're treated like dirt, basically, mm-hmm. most schools, because you were just cannon fodder for the football team. You're a tackling dummy. You know, you didn't have access to a lot of things. And through the years, now even walk-ons have been treated with respect. You look at the success Barry Alvarez had with walk-ons in the Wisconsin football team. It's been tremendous. And a lot of those guys were local guys that I might have covered in high school. Yeah. I saw at State. So it was pretty cool. But they through the years, things have gotten better where room and board and, you know, for some of these kids coming like from Florida, don't have enough money maybe to buy winter clothes. And there were so many NCAA rules on things you could do and couldn't do. School's getting away with this and that. And now, meanwhile, the coaches are getting paid, you know, seven figures. And they can bounce back and forth and all this. And, well, what about the athletes? Well, if you look on a Wisconsin campus now, I mean, there are a lot of benefits for the athletes. You have access to academics, to advisors, to stations during the day just to stop and grab a beverage or something. I mean, health, nutrition is so much more better. The athletes are treated so much better. But the one thing is I still remember when Ron Dayne was here in that number 33 jersey, how much money he could have made just off if he could have given him a buck for all those jerseys that were sold.
Well, and I think about with this new ruling, with it being revenue sharing then.
Yep.
So these athletes are getting the money then from the TV deals. The NIL is them getting the money off of their performance.
The question is, how are they going to split this money up?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to say, well, because some sports have NIL deals and others don't, we're going to give them more money to the ones that are, we used to call them the non-revenue sports. You know, it was baseball. That would be softball. It'd be track and cross country and gymnastics, which we don't have
swimming.
Anymore.
Don't forget my sport.
No, I was going swimming and tennis and whatever. So I'd be curious how they're going to split that up to make it fair. The thing with the NIL and all of this is, you know, sports are about team. Now, you have individual sports. Swimming is a team, mm-hmm. but still your individual effort. Is this going to destroy the team dynamic? You know, jealousy in the locker room. This guy's, or people are going to say, how much money are you getting? How much are you getting? It's mm-hmm. like when you're at work, wondering what your coworkers are you getting paid more or less than your coworkers. Now you can bring that into a locker room. So how they're going to deal with that? To be a coach right now, well, they're compensated pretty well at the football and basketball level.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about all the other ones, Volleyball, I'm sure, you know, Kelly's all taken care of here at Wisconsin, you know, Kelly Sheffield. But it's a good question on how they're, what they're going to do, how they're going to split it up. But I'm a belief, okay, you get a scholarship, yeah, but for what these athletes, student athletes, because they still expected, at least at Wisconsin, to go to school and get your degrees. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, some schools have press conferences. We call ours graduation when our student athletes graduate. That, I mean, I think it's about time that they got a fair share of the pie.
Now, we've also talked about with this here at the high school level, NIL. We saw the vote a few weeks ago up in Stevens Point with the member schools voting against bringing NIL, but eventually it's going to come to high school sports in the state of Wisconsin. Do you see a time where revenue sharing becomes a thing? And I'll use, let's just say, Sun Prairie as an example. And if Sun Prairie is bringing in money and they get some sort of a TV deal or something like that with a local channel, that money gets distributed then to the players as well? Or do you think there's just so little of it that it won't happen?
Yeah, I think it's not the same thing as these mega deals with the colleges and with the pros. I think from a high school standpoint, you still want to have amateur athletes. But if they have a chance, for example, if you're an artist, you can make a benefit off your work in high school, some other things. But it's the athletes that have not been able to in the sports. So the problem I see is, well, first of all, the WA wants to get this handled before it's legislated or a lawsuit comes into play and it's taken out of their hands and somebody tells them what they have to do with it. They gave it a shot. Didn't work. It'll go back through the area meetings and through all the committees. Almost 100% guaranteed it's going to be voted on again next April, and we'll see what they can come up with in, you know, all the negotiations. But the problem could be is, okay, say you're at school A, and dad and mom say, oh, if I get you at school B, you're going to get more money. We're going to go to you over there. Well, there are transfer rules. If you don't live in the district, you don't move in, you can't compete, you're out for a year. Oh, now some lawsuits could be, hey, you're taking money out of my kid's pocket. They can get more there. So I can see that down the road. I mean, that's all these things. Every time you open a door, you know, or you let the toothpaste out of the tube, it's not going back. So they're trying to be very careful. I commend the WA for trying to be proactive in this. But the rules that came out this year, I didn't see how it was going to be benefiting the kids or if they couldn't use the equipment or they couldn't do anything to show that they're an athlete at a particular school. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to figure some way around that. But, I'm toward the end of my career, realistically. So for all of you 20-somethings just getting into it, good luck to 10, 20 years down the road, high school sports. I hope they're not just going to go the club route like they are overseas, that we will have high school sports because that's one of the best things. And like the WI is pushing right now, what's that last class of the day? Is your forensics, your gymnastics, your band, school play, athletics, whatever. That extends the day and gives you a well-rounded person. And extracurriculars are very important, but you're still there. School's got to be first.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. For over 50 years, Zimbrick Honda's provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbrick Honda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbrick Honda in Madison today or online at ZimbrickHonda.com. So, Dennis, you mentioned something there briefly about the idea of over in Europe, there aren't high school sports a lot of times. It's a lot of clubs. So you have kids from different areas forming teams together, and then they go that route instead of it being through the schools. What's the problem with that, though? Like, as long as these kids are out there, they're playing basketball, they have this basketball season, and you're able to put a team together of some kids from Verona and a couple of kids from McFarland, and then they have a team together, how is that any different than what we already have right now? Like, as long as these kids are playing the sports and they're doing something, isn't that what we want?
But see, that's the thing. When you get to the club, like you look at AU basketball or club volleyball, whatever, those are very select teams. high school sports are about, and high school in general is about opportunity. The more schools, no cut. You don't want to have a cut unless you have to. As you get to a larger school, Middleton is the largest school in the state right now, high school-wise. That anybody that wants to play basketball can't come out and play varsity basketball. It's just a numbers game. But at the high school level, you have a JV. You have, you know, it used to be called freshman teams. Now it's JV1, JV2, varsity reserves, whatever. There's opportunities for kids. You put it in a club situation. Again, with the money, that's why a lot with the youth sports, the problem is how much money these people are paying out. I've had coaches say, well, if this kid would have taken the money, put it aside for college instead of spending it on chasing a scholarship that they're not going to get. The chance for most student athletes in high school to compete in college is pretty rare. A lot of people, though, are selling that, hey, if you join this club, you do this, this, and this, I'm going to get you a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's fool's gold. Or that these kids are starting so early. It's amazing how many juniors, seniors, or kids right out of high school just quit the sport they're in because they've been doing it for too long. They've been pushed to the limit, or they've been the specialization. Those athletes, the Olympic athletes, the baseball players or football players that want to focus on their one sport, they have an opportunity to do that through some of the clubs. But, for those kids that want to be a participant in a lot of things, high school is still, I think, the best bet. Still the best bang for your buck if you're going, even though the other day it was $4 for a brat and $3 for a bottle of water at that mm-hmm. place I went at. So, they're having to charge higher prices, too, for things. But, it's about opportunity for kids to participate. And, school is important, but for some, that carrot is in that extracurricular. My son did a couple years of basketball. He was also in show choir and two musicals, which are outstanding. My daughter was an athlete. She was involved in a lot of things. And I was happy that they, as student athletes, they were able to compete. Now, a lot of their teammates, classmates, their parents were spending thousands of dollars to send them. And I didn't see any of those kids really go on to mm-hmm. make it. I hooked up with a former Badger baseball player last week, Lance Painter, who was from Nicolet High School, Glendale. I coached him when he was a youth. He played for the Badgers. He had a 12-year career in the major leagues. That's one out of the thousands of kids I work with over the years. And Lance is still one of my favorites because he was kind of the underdog kind of guy. But, it's all about opportunity in high school sports. I think we have to do whatever we can to protect that integrity. But on the other hand, if your parents have a chance or their student athletes have a chance to make some money to set aside for college because mm-hmm. college isn't cheap. You don't have any kids right now, but mine are through college, thank God. And they had scholarships too, which got us through, but it's pretty expensive to go to school.
Yeah, and they're just trying to figure out any way they can to get athletes what they deserve in compensation for the time and the work and the money that they're bringing in to these institutions, whether it is the high school level or at the college level. This is Zimbricondas' presentation of Prep Mania. We've got a great show lined up as we'll be joined by Mason Lane, who's going to yet another state championship from Lodi as he qualified for state in track last night. We also we'll be talking with Alex Krogan, the new head football coach for the Watertown Goslings. Alex is up next right here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania continues on. Our new coaches series continuing on as well as we have Alex Krogan, the new football coach for the Watertown Goslings. Alex, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Now, Alex, you're coaching at your alma mater in Watertown. Can you just tell us what that feels like going from somebody who went through the school, you played, and now you're going to be coaching the team that you played for?
Yeah, it's special. I remember coming to games when you're real little and, the gym looks really big, the field looks really big. All the high schoolers coming to see you at school, they're all so big. And then now kind of going through it myself and then getting an opportunity to come back and and be a part of it is really special, and you know, really thankful for the opportunity that we have here to kind of give back to that next generation of goslings coming through.
You're a math teacher at the school too. So what's that like now as a teacher? And are there some of the teachers that you had in school still around?
Yeah. The teacher right next door, I actually had her when I was, I think, 10th grade for math as well. So there's a lot of familiar faces that are still here. And thankfully, I think they were happy to see me come back. You know, that wasn't like, oh, man, this guy's back again. So it's been really cool. And I actually started out coaching. I wasn't teaching at the time. And it's so cool to see the guys during the day and, you know, just kind of get those little interactions and catch up and make sure that, you know, they're doing the right thing too, while they're in school. So it's awesome. I can't imagine trying to do the job outside of the building.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, there seems to be more of a trend now to get coaches back in the building, especially the head coaches. I think most of the coaches we've talked to so far this spring that are new have either been in the program or are in the building. And like you said there, just to see the guys and see for them to see you in a different light, that's pretty cool too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think we at Watertown have done a great job of having a ton of teachers as our coaches. And a lot of really good role models for the kids to kind of see in a number of different areas, whether that's, you know, Phi Ed or it's science or it's math or anything like that, just all the different avenues that they can take.
Now, you mentioned that one of your former teachers is now your kind of classroom neighbor. Do any of your players try and, like, get old stories about when you were in school to try and blackmail you? Have they tried anything like that?
No, not yet. Some of them, I looked up my highlights, so that they were looking through my huddle page, and didn't really know what I was doing back then, trying to make one of those things. So I might have to get that, you know, sponge from the internet there. But nothing too crazy yet. They still kind of think it's crazy how close I am to their age. Actually, they feel like I'm this old guy. But really, it wasn't that long ago.
Hey, you come from a family of coaches. Your grandfather Eli was just a legend in the state. Did you ever think you'd be, you know, doing what you're doing now? Was it kind of a family type thing, or is it, did you have like some other career paths?
No, I think it was always kind of in there. I think I was always a really, you know, heady type player and kind of thought about the game in that way. I do remember like going to practices with my grandpa. He would pick me up, and at the time he was coaching at Wayland Academy, and he'd drive me from elementary school up there, and I'd be, you know, a ball boy at practice, and every once in a while I'd jump in, and, you know, if they needed a 10th guy for some drills or whatever it was. So just going to practice and being a part of a team, it's always kind of been something that I've been doing. And, you know, I took 1 year off in college of not being on a team, and it was miserable. So I had to get back and be a part of it somehow, some way. So kind of when the coaching journey took off, and I've been doing it since, and I love it. It's awesome.
We're joined by Alex Krogan, the new head coach for Watertown High School. Now, Alex, was there anything that your grandpa, like, taught you about coaching, or, like, the biggest takeaway you got from him also being a coach?
You know, I don't know if he ever explicitly told me, but the way that he carried himself and the way that he treated other people, you know, whether it was the star player on his team, or it was the mom of the last kid on the bench, or it was the guy who was writing the article for the paper, you know, whoever it was, all of those people are the ones that have told me, you know, how great of a man he was, and how nice he was to everyone, and how he would, you know, consistently go out of his way to help others and put everybody else before himself. And I think I just kind of try to strive to fill those shoes and kind of model, you know, my own style after that, where, you know, it's really a profession of service, and you're serving, you know, not only the kids in front of you, but you're serving their families, and you're serving the community as a whole. And I really try to just kind of strive to do that from some of the things that he showed me. But we certainly had some talks, you know, and he'd kind of talk about, like, well, you know, I don't know why you guys don't just run the ball every time. It seems pretty simple. You give it to 24 and he gets 5 yards, you know. I don't. So he certainly had some ideas of things that we could do as well.
Yeah, I knew he was a great baseball player, and also after he retired, he started a mentoring program for the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. I actually have the manual he helped put together, which is phenomenal, especially for new coaches. But it gets back to his day of three-sport athletes. You were a three-sport athlete. It's a lot tougher now, isn't it? You know, you see as a coach and as a teacher.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't know if it's the kids' fault at all. I think they work harder than anybody, but they're getting pulled in so many different directions, and it's rare to see those three-sport athletes. We have a handful of them here that are you know, certainly excelling. Certainly proud of those kids, but I would tell every kid, you know, play as many sports as you can and do as many things as you can, compete wherever you can, you know, whether that's, you know, I played football, basketball, baseball, whatever, or if you're in the play and you're doing show choir, you're, you know, part of the band and you're in the pep band for basketball, whatever it is, just so that you're a part of something outside of just your one sport, you know. And and obviously I want every kid to play football, but, you know, if you're a sport, I got a ton of soccer players in class, you know, and I love going to their games and supporting those guys too. But just being involved and doing stuff, it's so beneficial to be a part of a team, and, you know, understanding that sacrifice for the greater good, you know, to say it that way.
Now, when fans come out to your games this fall and they see the Goslings out on the field and these fans leave the game, how do you want them to define what it is that they saw from your team on Friday nights?
That's a great question. I hope that they leave and say that, you know, those kids never quit. They played from kickoff to that final whistle, whether we're ahead by 20 or down by 20, whatever it is, we're playing hard for every play. And you're never going to see guys giving in or taking breaks and kind of walking around. You know that we play tough. You know, they're a tough group. They battle. That's really all you can control, because you can only control so little in this game. And it's really tough week to week with every different kind of opponent that you see. But, you know, you can always control your attitude. You can always control your effort. And that's kind of what we're going to strive to do, is control those two things, and whatever happens on the scoreboard happens. But you know, we'd hope that all the fans wearing blue out there, they go home kind of at least proud of the fight and proud of how we play the game, and, you know, that we're playing it the right way and doing things how they're supposed to be done.
Did you have a favorite sport growing up?
I think probably, once you hit that first guy in football and you're like, wow, that's cool. That was probably the favorite. Before that, I know I love playing baseball. I was pretty big baseball family with my grandpa and then my dad, and my mom played softball at Northwestern. So we were really a ball and bat family kind of growing up. I didn't get quite all the genes from them in that aspect, but I, you know, there's nothing like being out there with your brothers playing football. It's special.
So with your mom playing at Northwestern, was she the best athlete in the family then?
By far. Yeah. And she'd let you know about it. She'd, she'd challenge anybody that wanted to, you know, play horse in the driveway or anything like that. She'd take your lunch money for sure. I think my sister gave her a pretty good run. She was a All-American at Division II Upper Iowa playing softball as well. So they got really all the genes. And then the boys on the other half, me and my brother, were, you know, we were okay. But not as good as the girls, for sure.
So is that where the softball coaching now for you comes in?
Yeah. I went to a lot of games growing up, and obviously played baseball. I coached a year of baseball with my brother's team, the JV at the time, and then I kind of different job, and they needed a JV softball coach, and I said, well, I know softball, you know, pretty well. So I stepped in for Patty Jansen was the head coach at the time, and, you know, Hall of Famer, incredible mentor as well, just in the coaching profession, just kind of how do you run a program, how do you do things, how do you treat people. And so getting to coach under her for a handful of years was super awesome, and thankful for that. Yeah, so came back to Watertown and still coaching softball again, JV this year. So it's cool. It's a cool dynamic between, you know, football and then coaching the boys, more or less, and then the girls, and you get just a different type of athlete. And it's a really awesome, you know, change, I think, between the two.
Biggest difference between the two? What do you have to adjust to in the spring and then back to in the fall?
The sports are so different in terms of, like, the schedule. You know, with spring sports, you go 3-4 weeks inside, and you're in the cages, you're in the gym, and then it's like, okay, we can get outside, we can play games, and you're playing games every day, and, you know, trying to kind of just keep everybody level-headed and doing things that way, I think, is difficult. Whereas football, it's very regimented. Mondays we do this, Tuesdays we do this. It's a very steady workflow. So I think that's probably the biggest difference between, like, the girls and boys. They're all the same. They're all high school kids. They're all goofy. You know, they do silly things. They say silly things. That's what makes it fun, though. Keep you on your toes.
I found from coaching my kids, though, that the guys tend to let things go. Girls, maybe there's a little bit more drama sometimes at times, but then they're also more. They come up with cheers and stuff too, right? I mean, the softball team, they cheer for the teammates, and they're not shy about putting routines together.
I wish they'd do more.
Yeah, that's fun.
I wish they'd cheer more. Yeah, so I could learn them, but they, maybe it's not cool enough yet.
Again, this was Alex Krogan, the new head football coach for the Watertown Goslings. Alex, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck to you and the Goslings this fall.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Joining us next will be Mason Lane, current Lodi Blue Devil and future Wisconsin Badger, right here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania continues on, and we're joined now by someone who will be at his third trip to a state championship this year, as we have Mason Lane from the Lodi Blue Devils. Mason, you made it for football, took home a gold ball from Camp Randall. We're going to talk more about that, as Dennis and I were on the call for that game. You also were at the state championship for wrestling, and now you're headed over to lacrosse for track. So is there a sport that you're not good at, Mason?
Well, it's funny because this year was my first year I've actually done track. Played baseball for 3 years, and then I decided to do track for just to get ready for football. But yeah, I've been blessed to be very competitive in all my sports.
This will be your 11th letter, right?
Yes.
So it was 4 in wrestling, and was football 4 or baseball 4? Baseball
was
3.
Football. Yeah, track was 1, and football was 3.
It was 3. Okay, freshman year. Wow, that's pretty incredible. You know, when you go out for track, and again, you get to go to state. You were on that 4x1 relay. Lodi was 10th last year, but you got a lot of guys going. You're looking for a top 10 team finish as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, you know, you said you played baseball the last 3 years, but you switched over to track this year, and that's because you're going to a pretty good football program coming up this fall, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you'll be
going to be a Badger.
Yep,
yeah.
Going to be all a right. Badger, yep. Playing at Camp Randall. Just a short drive down for you. So you making the switch over to track, was that kind of a, like, Coach Fickle and the rest of the staff was like, hey, maybe you should do this instead? Or did you just decide you wanted to try and, you know, work on some of your speed before you headed here to Madison?
Yeah, that was kind of my personal decision. And I know some guys who have played on the Badger team before in Lodi, and they recommended doing track. And, you know, I still loved baseball, so it was hard letting it go. But it was something that I needed to do just to get ready for my future and for football.
Now, that's the hat trick, three state tournaments. You're fourth in wrestling, state champ in football. Well, you won the 4x1 at the sectional, so if you finish first, you know, you got a chance at least to be on the podium. 3.75 grade point, but you were the Lodi's scholar athlete in the WAA, only 32, 16 male, 16 females. You were honored on that earlier this month. What was that experience like for you?
That was awesome. It was a few weeks ago on a Saturday or a Sunday, and it was just really well put together by the WIA. And it was a lot of fun meeting some other kids that who you didn't know who were super successful, just like I was in high school sports. So it was really, really fun time.
And student athletes, and sometimes people forget that's the student part comes first. Who's the biggest influence on you as a student in your family or in school?
Probably my mom, because she just always pushed me to get good grades, and she worked in the school in the middle school when I was coming up. So, yeah, probably my mom.
Now, I mentioned it when you first joined here, that state championship for football. Dennis and I were on the call for it, and for anybody that wasn't listening or watching the broadcast, first play from scrimmage, you had a touchdown pass to one of the members of your relay. I need to know for that, because it was like a 65-yard touchdown, I believe. Was that something that you guys, like, you knew all week? Like, okay, we're going to hit him with play action. Aiden Grosskopf's going to be open down the middle. It's going to be six no matter what. Or was that something you just saw and you're like, okay, maybe we can try this to start?
Yeah, that's kind of a funny story. So on Sunday or Monday, I forget, it was like the first time we came in to watch film on Luxembourg Casco, Coach Sachin, our offense coordinator, told me what the first play was going to be. He's like, so it was a flood route. So you have a shorter out route, a deeper out route, a corner out, and then that backside post that we scored on. He's like, throw it to one of the shorter two. We'll get him on the deeper play later in the game. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. The safety was going to bite down, and it was all going to work out, and I knew Aiden was going to be open. So I just said, screw it, I'm throwing it. I'm getting touchdown first play.
So were the coaches, like, did they tell you after, like, as you were throwing it and they knew where you were going to go? Was it like a, no, oh, okay, yes.
I'm not sure. They trusted me a lot this year. They, you know, let me call some plays at times. So I think they trusted me and they didn't really care.
So you're going to be playing football for the Badgers as a preferred walk-on next year. You're going to be playing quarterback, or do they have you move into a different position?
I'll be playing safety, which I did play some safety in high school. I started both ways, so it's nothing new, but it'll be nice because I'll be able to focus like my whole practice into playing one position. In high school, I, you know, an hour at each was, and I could kind of perfect one of them.
Have you had graduation yet?
Yes, we graduated on Sunday.
But you got a quick turnaround. June 9th, you got to be at UW. What are the plans for the summer? You have a class you're taking besides the summer workouts?
Yes, I'm doing English, an English class on top of all the workouts and practices.
Are you going to be living on campus or commuting back and forth?
Yes, I'll be living in the Regent Street apartments all year, including the school year. So it'll be nice, just like a rock throw away from Camp Randall.
Oh, yeah. Say pretty close there. Awesome.
Now, looking ahead, last night you qualified for state in track with the 4x100 relay that you were on. You won your sectional, so you'll head over to La Crosse for that. Have any of your teammates who have that were on the track team last year who qualified for state, have they told you what the track meet is like? It's Dennis's favorite state championship of all of the sports. So has anybody kind of gotten you ready for what this next weekend is going to look like for you?
I mean, a little bit. They said obviously a lot of people, a lot of downtime in between events. So I don't know. I'm just going to take it just like state football and state wrestling, just be ready to go and leave it all out there.
Okay, what was the temperature at game time for football? Do you remember back in November?
It was nice. It had to be in the 50s or upper 40s. It was super nice.
Well, guess what you're going to get next week? You're going to get one day that's going to be a sauna, and the next day that's going to probably be a monsoon. Last year, the meet finished up at 1:30 in the morning on Saturday because of rain delays. So, you said, a lot of standing around time. Yeah, good luck. A lot of good bonding time, though. Are you guys going to be staying in the dorms, do you know? Or?
Yes, yeah, we'll be staying in the dorms.
Oh, that's great because you're right next to the facilities. So, as Hunter alluded to, that the state track meet, it's the best athletes. And, of course, you qualify as a multiple-sport athlete, but all levels, boys and, it's male and female. And the best part is if you're coming down that straightaway, watching yourselves on the big screen that's at the end there, that's pretty awesome. But you'll be the second one, so you'll be able to watch your teammates come across the finish line, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, I've got one last one for you, and it just clicked in my head, Mason. So you were a wrestler, you finished fourth in state for that, but you're going to be playing for, at Wisconsin, Luke Fickell, who went undefeated as a high school wrestler. How long do you think you could last in the ring with high school Luke Fickell wrestling?
Oh, yeah, in his prime in high school, I probably wouldn't stand much of a chance since he was a heavyweight, but I don't know. I'd like to think now I'd maybe last a little longer because he's older, but I don't know. it wouldn't have been pretty in high school.
Did that come into play when you were being recruited? Did you guys talk about wrestling a lot?
Yeah, some of our first conversations have been about wrestling, and he's talked to me about his kids wrestled, and we've talked a lot about wrestling in the times that I've talked to him.
And football, your favorite sport, or what was your favorite growing up?
Growing up, it was always wrestling, because my dad had been a coach for Lodi for so long, and they were really successful when I was growing up, so I kind of fell in love with wrestling, and then all my friends, and obviously Coach Paul's Brady being in my grade, one of my best friends that, football grew on me as well. So it was pretty close. I love both football and wrestling, and I love baseball, and now I'm starting to love track too. So I love all four of the sports I did, but football just happened to be the one I felt like I was the best at.
Well, I covered your dad in high school too. Does he talk about his exploits at all? Do you know how he was as an athlete?
Yeah, he took second in the state his senior year in wrestling. He played on some solid football teams, I think. And, I think he just said football and wrestling in high school.
So you one upped him. Two upped him. Four sports. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure your parents are very proud of you. Outstanding career as a student athlete.
Thank you.
And this was Mason Lane. We'll be heading to UW to play football for the Badgers. But before that, he's got the state track meet over in La Crosse. Mason from the Lodi Blue Devils. Mason, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dennis and I wrap up Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania next on ESPN Madison, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Give me something. Wrapping up Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania, I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Summerow. For more than 50 years, Zimbraconda has provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbraconda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbraconda in Madison today or online at Zimbraconda.com. Dennis, we were just talking to Mason Lane of Lodi, who is going over to La Crosse for the 4x100 relay as he and his teammates qualified for the state championship. And we wanted to talk a little bit more of one of the other runners, Abigail Sadler of Mount Horeb, one of our UW Credit Union Student Athletes of the Week. She's qualified in a number of different events, but looking to try and bring home some gold medals for Mount Horeb.
Yeah, you look at the seeds when you get to state track. You don't know what the kind of conditions were or what the competition was. You know, when you go regionals, you just want to advance to the next one. Then you get to sectionals. Okay, now you got to finish top three in Division One, top four Division Two and Three. Abby had a great day yesterday at the Sauk Prairie sectional. She ended up finishing first in both the 800 and the 3200. And last year, she won the 800 at state and was third. When I say 3200, 800 and 1600, rather. She won the 800 last year and was third in the 16, but she'll be a top seed, top five seed in both those. And then the 4x8 relay, they won, and they're actually seeded second. That one might be a little bit closer. You want to be a first or second seed if you want to have a chance to get on the podium. But she's had an outstanding career cross-country and track for Mount Horeb. And on the boys' side, we were talking to Mason. Gavin Sargent, last year he ended up winning the triple jump, and he was fourth at the long jump. He's back in both, and he's one of the top seeds in both events. So have a chance to win two jumps. And they split those up, you know, jumps are in different days. So
yeah, he doesn't have to do just a bunch of jumping on Friday.
Right. So, and then McFarland got the, for the boys, they got their 800 relay last year. Their relay won state. It's a little bit different matchup this year, but they're back again. So next Friday and Saturday in lacrosse, and like we mentioned, we were talking to Mason. One day it's usually hot, one day it's usually rainy. Last year they were running until after 1 o'clock in the morning because of delays during the day and then at night. And then I remember at 11 o'clock the lights went off in the stadium because normally they shut off.
Yeah.
So then they had to power them back up. So now there was a light delay. I was back here writing for a couple of weeklies, so I was monitoring online trying to figure out what was going on with the delays early and then tracking some coaches down. I know Sauk Prairie was there, then drove back, and then they had a runner on the boys' side who was graduating Friday night, and drove back, got him, and then Saturday morning they drove back to lacrosse. Graduation, that's another thing. I know there's schools that are graduating on Friday and Saturday. Mason said he's already done, so Lodi is fun. This is a good time of the year. All you got to do is worry about track practice and go to grad parties and just try to make sure you keep yourself healthy so you can compete at state. I remember one year Verona had a thrower that was one of the top throwers in the state and got hurt in a gym class. The week before and could compete. That's happened before. I always thought if you're an athlete, what do you need physical education classes for? If you're a multiple sport athlete, you shouldn't be able to take something else.
I've never thought of that before, Dennis. And you say it as we only have about a minute left on the program. That's something that we may have to bring up on another one. I've never thought of that before. But, you know, moral of the story with everything and all the stories you have from state track is if you're going over there even to be a spectator, just be prepared for everything. You're going to get hot weather. You're going to get rain. You might have the lights shut off on you at the stadium for track and field. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Joining me, of course, Dennis Sumrau, as this is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. Thank you so much to Alex Krogan, the new head coach at Watertown, for joining the program, as well as Mason Lane. Dennis and I will be back next week. We've got softball and baseball coming up in the postseason as well, so still a ton to talk about on area high school sports, as this is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.